Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What's up, everybody? Happy game day. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long. We are on location, Rouse's Market, 701 Barone Street in the CBD, getting ready for Monday Night Football. Pick up all the great food that they have pre-made here, or if you're cooking tonight, also some spirits for this evening, because I've got a feeling we're going to need plenty of that come Monday night kickoff in Kansas City.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. We'll see if the Black and Gold can get back on track here after losing back-to-back games. Steve, you know, this 2-2 start. After 2-0, everyone's feeling high. They're flying high. They're feeling good about themselves. That's been erased. So now you're sitting 2-2. The division is now kind of up for air. Like, you have the Falcons at 3-2. You have the Buccaneers at 3-2 after that Thursday night bout. And so now you have to keep pace. This is a huge game for the Black and Gold early on in the season.
Yeah, you mentioned keeping pace, obviously. 3-2 Falcons, 3-2 Buccaneers. And man, oh man, those darn Dirty Birds getting awfully lucky to start this season.
The Falcons could so easily be 0-5.
Yeah, I hate to see that.
Somehow they're 3-2. But that's where you're sitting right now. You're third place in the NFC South as of now. But if you win this game, you're right back up there with the Falcons and the Buccaneers. So
boom, two-game losing skid over, and you're right in the hunt in the NFC's division. You're not falling behind too far.
And Tyrann Mathieu made a really good point about this when he was talking before, you know, week four, that game against Atlanta, that, you know, good teams figure out how to avoid the multi-game losing streaks.
Right.
Right? You're on a two-game right now. You can't let it get to three. It's just devastating.
Looking right off the bat, the most important thing going into this matchup, sadly, is the injury report, Charlie. MC Health helped update. Brought to you by LCMC Health. 8 hospitals, one promise of keeping you well. Excuse me. Looking at the injury report for this Black and Gold bunch. Out, Charlie. Out for this game. Linebacker Willie Gay. Linebacker Pete Werner. Tight end Taysom Hill. Guard Cesar Ruiz. Center / guard Shane Lemieux, who has now also been put on injured reserve. Defensive end Peyton Turner is also out, along with newly put back on the active roster in Kendra Miller, the running back. He just is not ready to go, though, for this game. Also questionable for the game. You got offensive lineman Lucas Patrick dealing with a groin issue. So plenty of questions for this Black and Gold bunch. Obviously, that offensive line still also missing Eric McCoy, who's on injured reserve.
So, yeah, you're looking without your starting center, your backup center, could potentially be without your left guard. You're going to be without your right guard. And you're going against one of the premier defensive tackles in the NFL. So, not ideal.
4-0, defending Super Bowl champs. Let's keep piling it on here.
Chris Jones is incredible, and we'll talk a lot about him throughout the show because he's a key. Stopping him is going to be a key piece for this Saints offense against the Chiefs defense. Chris Jones, I think so far this year, has 3 sacks. But the thing that stands out to me, Steve, the quarterback pressures. He has 19 QB pressures as a defensive tackle. Now, Deuce had a great bite about this where Chris Jones will play all along the defensive line. He either plays, you know, defensive tackle, he'll play different spots on the interior, he'll even move out to the edge. It's just really, really tough to kind of figure out where he's going to be at any given time. So, Chris Jones against a really banged-up interior offensive line, that's kind of sketchy, and that's advantage Chiefs for sure.
Looking at some of the other moves the Saints have already made today, guard / center Kyle Hergel has been signed to the active roster. The team has also elevated from the practice squad safety Jonathan Abram and linebacker Isaiah Stallburg. The good news was we got DeMario Davis back this week, being
right.
A full go.
And you need him because Willie Gay and Pete Werner
go down with injury. So, yeah, definitely brutal in that linebacking core.
Yeah, Double D is back, though, which is obviously huge given how banged up that linebacker room is as well. It's a couple different spots. And this is what happens at points where, you know, injuries can kind of, I guess, I don't want to say just overwhelm you at certain spots, but when you have multiple injuries at certain positions, that's when things get really tricky. So at linebacker, they're kind of banged up. Interior offensive line, they're banged up. So, I mean, the Saints, they're just going to have to figure some things out there. But specifically, like as we were just mentioning with the offensive line against the Chiefs defensive line, when you don't have your top guys, right? You don't have your starting center, you don't have your starting right guard. Lucas Patrick, you hope that he can play.
Right.
Like, I know he's questionable.
Question, right?
He's questionable right now. You hope that he can play. But if he can't go, then it's not just going to be patch make. You're probably going to have Ole Udo in there and Landon Young in there. And just it's going to be a lot you're throwing together. And patchwork.
And Connor McGovern, you mentioned patchwork. He just was signed this week and is
off
expected
the Jets
to contribute.
Practice squad. So that's an interesting note. The coaching staff has some recognition with McGovern because John Benton, the current Saints coach, offensive line coach, was the offensive line coach and run game coordinator of the Jets in 2021 and 2022, where McGovern was there for basically the past 4 years. So they have a little bit of knowledge of each other. So obviously, you know, they think he's a serviceable enough interior offensive lineman to go scoop him up. And when you have basically two guys that can play center on IR already with McCoy and then Lemieux, you kind of needed to go get someone there.
Real disappointment for Shane Lemieux. I know Mike Dettillier has mentioned it a bunch of well with him. Wherever he's gone along his steps, this veteran just seems to always end up hurt. And obviously, again, now with the black and gold, boom, ends up on the IR just after limited action here.
He knows how to play, too. That's like the really unfortunate
part. Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was pinned to play guard on this team originally, but when he had to play center, he actually showed up and played really well at center
something
against the Falcons.
Done.
Exactly. I mean, he stepped in, he stepped up into that role, and he played really, really well. So, I mean, losing him and having him place on IR, that's just a double whammy, Steve.
Yeah, the black and gold, definitely a banged-up bunch. Hopefully, we can get Alvin Kamara through this game without any more injuries. We know he's dealing with the ribs and a hip issue. Unfortunately for Taysom, you know, Dennis Allen mentioned during the week that he was dealing with fractures with his ribs, so he's unable to go tonight. And I'm curious to see how this run game is going to end up shaking out, just because we've seen how different it is without Taysom. He's that physical guy. You know, he's getting that extra fight for every single inch, you know, you talk about in football. But for whatever reason, unfortunately, the dude just can't stay on the field.
The Saints don't lose that game to Philadelphia if Taysom Hill's playing.
Right, I hear
you. I mean, it's just that important. But as far as the game against Atlanta, where the Saints outplayed the Falcons, like, Taysom Hill played a big role early on before he got injured. And as Coach Allen had mentioned, the fractured ribs. So you always kind of knew that he was going to be out for this game. As you mentioned, the rushing attack is obviously super important to Clint Kubiak's offensive scheme. And they want to set up the play-action pass by being able to run the ball. So it's super important. And Alvin Kamara, as you kind of said, Steve, he's going to play a huge role tonight, even though he's a little bit banged up as well.
Yeah, definitely one of those dudes that I feel like, you know, the most talented guy on your offensive roster, your most potent weapon.
Alvin's been killing it this year.
You need him to come up big in a big-time game tonight.
Yeah, he's been awesome. You just need him to kind of keep it up. There's been times where, specifically like the Eagles game, where you don't have Taysom Hill, where maybe he had a little bit too much of a workload.
Right.
But you're probably going to be asking him to have a similar workload tonight. If your offense is going to be rolling, you're probably giving him at least 20 touches out of the backfield.
Yeah, that was why there was a little bit of excitement. You saw that Kendra Miller was getting back in the mix, and maybe hopefully he could contribute anything from, I was hoping just like 5 to 7 touches even.
Right.
But that's just not the case for him. He's been ruled out definitely for this game, even though he is back off of IR.
Yeah, he was limited at practice this week. It was just good to see him back at practice in the first place because, I mean, he suffers a hamstring injury quite literally on the first day of training camp, and then we out of sight, out of mind. We don't hear from him for basically a month and a half, or multiple months at this point.
Right.
But now he's back at practice, which is obviously a good sign. But then it pops up that he's doubtful, and so obviously, you know, he's not going to be playing in this game. So Kendra's getting close, but he's not there just yet. So maybe next week, maybe a couple weeks from now, I think that getting him back for a game against the Buccaneers, which, you know, Bobby's going to be here in a little bit, and he's already emphasized how much more important the game against the Bucs is than the game against, you know, tonight against the Chiefs, because NFC South versus an AFC opponent. At the same time, like we mentioned at the very start, Steve, you
got to
keep pace with those teams at the top of the NFC South. Like, as far as what happened where the Bucs kind of blew it against the Falcons, I think that's fair to say. Now you got 2-3-2 teams right there, and you're 2-2. So if you fall a little bit behind the pack, that's going to make a big difference. But if you can kind of keep pace and be 3-2 and have 3-3-2 teams heading into, you know, week 6, where you have that huge game against the Buccaneers in the Superdome, you know, we'll see what happens.
What's interesting for the Buccaneers, you know, initially I was like, oh, they've got this great advantage of having extra rest because they played Sunday where the Saints are playing Monday. Well, now they got to evacuate the Tampa Bay area because of the hurricane coming into there. So they're going to be practicing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Yeoman Stadium.
Right. And, I mean, just it's crazy what's happening.
Wild scenario, right?
Yeah, like you send your best to Florida because they're just getting hounded and they got another one coming. So we know what it's like to deal with that here. But looking at tonight's matchup between the Saints and the Chiefs, Steve, a couple things stand out to me. If you just look at the numbers, you would never guess the Chiefs are 4-0. Like, their offense has been mediocre, their defense has been really good, and all the Chiefs reporters that we've talked to throughout the week on Sports Talk have basically come out and said their defense is the reason that this team is 4-0, and they've drafted well on defense. And, you know, Mike has said in the past that Tampa Bay has done a really good job of drafting within the past few years, and they have, but so have the Chiefs. Like, you've added guys like Trent McDuffie, who's a premier corner, and George Karlaftis, who's a really good defensive end, to go alongside, like, their key pieces on defense, like the Chris Jones. So their defense is solid. Their offense, the numbers don't stand out at all. And another thing is,
they keep getting wide receivers picked off.
And we'll bring this up, too, throughout the show, because I think it's a really important point. The turnover margin for the Chiefs has been awful. Has been awful. Like, the Saints are +3 on the season, and that's with being -1 with their loss to the Falcons this past week. It's been a long 8 days, by the way, hasn't it? That since we lost to the Dirty Birds. You got to get that taste out of our mouth. But they're +3. They're still +3 so far this season through the first four games, which is really, really good.
Right.
The Chiefs are -4. And
very
that doesn't sound like
sure.
a huge gap necessarily for, you know, just at the naked eye. The Saints are 4th in the NFL in turnover differential. The Chiefs are 29th. 29th. So it's a gigantic gap as far as scoring average. Once again, the Chiefs' offense has just been middle of the pack this year, which is crazy to think about with Pat Mahomes.
Well, you mentioned Mahomes there. Look at his numbers compared to Derek Carr's. You'd have to do a double take.
Right, exactly. He's got 6 touchdowns to 5 interceptions this year.
Right.
And I saw somewhere saying that he was leading the league for, like, MVP odds early on. Just like, what has he done? He hasn't
done
anything.
Recognition, that's it.
No, I know. So you're looking
at... And the jewelry that he's got.
Yeah, exactly. a couple rings will do that to you. So far this year, the Chiefs, 23 points per game, which ranks 14th in the NFL, middle of the pack. A little further down, total offensive yards per game, 328, 14th, middle of the pack.
Yeah.
They've just been kind of mediocre. And obviously the turnover differential isn't good at all. It's at the bottom of the pack, 29th in the NFL. So there are a couple stats here as far as the Chiefs go where you're just wondering, how is this team 4-0? But at the same time, you watch them play, and they have these games where you get late into contests, and the defense does enough to keep it really close,
right.
And then you hand it to the big bad man, Patrick Mahomes, at the end of the game, and he'll win a game for you. Every single one of their games this year has been by one score. So
the pinstripes, the zebras have helped them out a lot too this season.
Yeah, you've seen that a couple times, haven't you? I mean, against the
Falcons. Not like anyone's noticing.
Yeah, the pass interference call specifically, Steve. Like, there was that one moment against the Falcons. There was one moment, you know, earlier on as well. I think it was against the Bengals too. So just a couple different games where, you know, the Chiefs have gotten the benefit of the doubt, let's call it, on some penalties, and it's obviously helped them pick up a win.
Want to hear from you on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. It's 504-260-1870. Want to hear what you're up to this game day. Getting ready for those Kansas City Chiefs, 4-0. They're going to be at home. Arrowhead Stadium, a 7:15 kickoff right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. The first take brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. We are at the Rouse's Market, 701 Barone Street in the CBD. The Cajun Cannon will be here coming up 5 o'clock for the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff. We'll be rolling on with more First Take right after this break here on WWL. Stay tuned. Welcome back into First Take. We are having a special edition live from the Rouse's Market at 701 Barone Street in the CBD. The Bud Light countdown, the kickoff coming up next with the Cajun Cannon. That'll be starting at 5 o'clock right here, like I said, 701 Barone Street at the Rouse's Market. Bud Light Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. Charlie, just down the street a little bit ago, wrapped up in the Smoothie King Center. Pel's first preseason game, win-a-win-a, 106-104 over the Orlando Magic.
And we've seen some people walking into Rouse's with Pel's jerseys on. So obviously they came after the game, got some, I guess, dinner, get ready to head home and everything like that. But yeah, Pel's an early game. It started at 12:30 today. So 106.
Early,
yeah, no, it's preseason, man. Like, it is what it is. But, you know, I was looking at some of the numbers. I was listening to Graf and Aaron on the ride in and just kind of hearing how the end of the game went.
Yeah.
Basically, like, the third and quarter into the fourth quarter. couple things, you know, stand out. 16 players logged minutes for the Pelicans today, which is just preseason. You know, like, the starters basically played 20 minutes apiece. Zion looked great. He finished with 16 points on 8 made field goals, but also Jordan Hawkins off the bench, leading the team in scoring. So, you know, hopefully.
Like to see that.
And that's something that we had heard from, you know, Andrew Lopez and Graf and everything from the folks that were out in Nashville, you know, covering training camp for the Pelicans at the campus of Belmont University, was that Hawkins was looking awesome. Especially, like, I think there was a Wednesday practice that they said where he just couldn't miss. So it's really, really good stuff. And, you hope that he could kind of step into a role entering his second NBA season, the former lottery pick.
Yes, indeed. Like you mentioned, Zion Williamson, he played 19 minutes, ends up with 16 points, 2 steals on the day, also 3 assists, 8 rebounds for Zion. Good to see him in action. No Brandon Ingram. He did not play today.
No, yes. They said it was rest, I think.
Right,
so
exactly.
It's nothing to be.
Well, it was just preseason game one. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, you know, the regular season is still basically, I think now, what, 16 days away, Steve? It starts on October 23rd against the Bulls. So have a few preseason games, and then there's like a week, and then you get into regular season action. So it's right around the corner for the Pels.
106-104, Pelicans a winner. When we get back from this break, we're going to check in Kansas City with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Give us the lowdown on what's going on in that scenario over there as we get ready for Monday Night Football, a 7:15 kickoff right here on WWL on the Odyssey app. Be back with more First Take, WWL's First Take, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day stuck up on Bud Light right after the break here on WWL. Welcome back into a special edition of WWL's First Take, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day stuck up on Bud Light. We are broadcasting from Rouse's Market at 701 Barone Street in the CBD. We'll be here till 5 o'clock for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. The Cajun Cannon then steps in on location as we carry this up to game time in Kansas City, where we check in with our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak. Hope you're doing well, Jeff. How are things on a 342 in Kansas City right now?
342? Well, they're good. It's a nice temperature outside. Got myself a good lunch. I'm about to head over to the stadium in a couple minutes. It's going to be fun. I think this atmosphere is going to be something that the players are really looking forward to. Guys that played in that building are looking forward to going back into that building. Like Aaron Matthews, Colin Saunders, Derek Carr knows that building really well. I say building, there's no roof on it. I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
Jeff, Steve and I kind of broke down the injury report, and it's very lengthy for the Saints. Willie Gay's out. Obviously, Pete Warner's out, so you're missing two linebackers. Taysom Hill out. And then what I'm really concerned about, and I want to get your thoughts on this and see if you've heard anything else, Cesar Ruiz obviously out. Shane Lemieux placed on IR. That's two offensive linemen. Eric McCoy's already been placed on IR. So then you have this third offensive lineman on the interior, Lucas Patrick, your left guard, that's questionable. So what's the latest on Lucas Patrick's availability for this game? Because if you're missing him, you're missing not just three interior offensive linemen, but also a backup on top of that. It's a really, really banged up spot, especially when you have to play a player like Chris Jones for the Chiefs.
Oh, no question. And even if Lucas is available, I'm not sure where he's going to play. He did travel with the team.
Oh, cool.
So I imagine they're going to test it out and see if he can go. But I wouldn't be surprised if Connor McGovern ends up starting at center either way, because you feel like, hey, we would rather keep someone at their natural position at left guard if we're going to be down a guy. So we'll have to see how that shapes out. But no, it's concerning. There's no way around it. I mean, he went into the season thinking, hey, the interior of the offensive line should be theoretically the strength of this offensive line. And now the only guy you feel like doesn't really have any question marks, at least in terms of health and availability, is Trevor Penning, the guy that we went into the season thinking, man, what are we going to do? Taliese Fuaga, he's been dealing with a back issue. He's been managing it. He popped up on the injury report with a knee. Dennis Allen said it wasn't something they were concerned about. He's going to play. But no, I mean, Chris Jones is tough to handle, and the biggest issue with Chris Jones is you just never know where he's going to come at you from. He decides when he goes on the field. He looks at the matchups and he picks whichever one he wants to go at, and he's going to have a lot of interesting choices to make when he gets out there against this group. And you know, I think the Saints have a decent chance in this game if they don't allow Chris Jones to wreck it entirely. And we saw what can happen when the interior pass rush blows up a game. It happened in week 3. Jalen Carter made the Saints offense miserable all day long, and they were only able to put up 12 points. They just were not able to run the ball. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle it for sure.
Yeah, it's a good call out, Jeff. Specifically, you know, that Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, that was tough for the Saints. And I know that Cesar Ruiz had a really rough game in that matchup as well. As far as, you know, Chris Jones, it's also a good point, because Deuce had been talking about this back on Fans of the Pro back on Friday, is that he hunts those mismatches. But when you have all these backups on the interior of the offensive line, it's almost like take your pick at certain spots as well. And with Connor McGovern, as you kind of mentioned, him coming to New Orleans, the Saints picking him up off the Jets practice squad, the kind of connection there is that John Benton, the current Saints offensive line coach, coached him when he was in New York. He was the offensive line coach and run game coordinator for the Jets back in 2021 and 2022. And obviously McGovern spent basically the past 4 years in New York. So obviously they see a little bit of something there in the veteran offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman that's kind of been there, done that. He's a pro. And so, yes, if you have to put him at the center spot because Lemieux is hurt and because McCoy is hurt, like, you don't feel like it's necessarily the end of the world. It's just, you know, it's a backup.
Yeah, and I will add, there's a few more connections than just John Benton. When Connor was drafted to the Broncos in 2016, there was a few people on that staff. One was named Clint Kubiak. He was an offensive assistant. One was named Clancy Barone. He was the offensive line coach. And another guy was named Rick Dennison. He was the offensive coordinator. So he knows this group very, very well. He describes them as the best coaching staff he's worked with. So I think that's what you're kind of hoping, you know. You show up on a Wednesday or whatever day he showed up, you get two practices in, and you're asked to go run an NFL offense. In most cases, you would say, I don't even know if that's possible. In this case, you know, a lot of the terminology is the same. A lot of the schemes he's familiar with. So if he has to get on the field, you feel like he can handle it. But, man, I can't think of a more imposing environment to go into in terms of you got to run a silent count, you know, and he can't miss assignments in this game. So we'll see how that goes. But his story is really fascinating. I mean, he contemplated retirement after his injury last year. It was his second major knee injury in three seasons. He was 2 hours away from getting on the bus to go to the airport to fly to London with the Jets. So if the Saints waited a couple more hours, they wouldn't have had a shot at him because he would already been on his way to London. He turned around, got the last flight out of Newark, and he's here. So, you know, it's a fun story. Hopefully it works out on the field as well as it did this week from a timing perspective.
I'm right with you on that, Jeff. Like you said, great story. Hopefully it translates to performance also on the field. Obviously concerning, the guy's got little time to get acclimated to life in black and gold, but we'll see what happens. Before I hit you with more football, how was lunch? I saw you tweeting out your grub earlier, and it looked pretty tasty.
Oh, yeah. They knew how to do food out here. I got some barbecue last night, got a nice biscuit sandwich thing today, and, you know, I was able to, you know, take like a 20-minute nap because I was in a bit of a food coma. But, this is a fun area. I do like it a lot. It's a lot of hills. It's something I'm not used to.
Sorry if I didn't get into it right away. Just curious, weather-wise, we're not looking at any chance at rain in the Kansas City area this
Hopefully
evening.
Not looks, like Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Right. Looking like pretty clear skies over there, I think.
I mean, based on looking out the window, yeah, it's pretty clear. I haven't looked at the forecast. But no, it should be comfortable. It should be, like a nice little night game. Like, no, it's not going to be cold. It's not going to be hot. Shouldn't be much precipitation. So, you know, it is the Saints' first game this year outdoors. And they tried to kind of acclimate a little bit. They practiced outside this week, you know, with that kind of in mind. They piped in crowd noise. I think they actually brought out a second set of speakers to make it even louder than they typically would. So, I mean, it's not really going to replicate, how 60,000 screaming fans at Arrowhead. But, you know, they're doing their best. It's going to be interesting, you know, in the kicking game. If this ends up being a heavy kicking game, like it could be, how does Blake Griffey handle that? It's good. You know, the first time he had to kick outdoors last year was that Green Bay game, and he missed that potential go-ahead kick late in the game. So, it's going to be a factor for sure.
Looking at the run game, Jeff, you know, obviously Alvin Kamara is the man and thankfully did not appear with any injury designation for this game. And I believe was a full go on Saturday for the Saints. So I know he's still dealing with the hip and rib issue, but he's definitely a full go tonight. Not in the mix. Taysom Hill with the rib issue. And we thought maybe there was a slight chance that Kendra Miller could give you some limited snaps. That's also not the case as well. He is back, but he won't be in action this evening. So you're looking at really what you've been having with Jamal Williams and nothing much else to help out Alvin in the run game today.
Yeah, Jordan Mims will be active, but, you know, he's got four carries this year. I think they all came in week one, maybe one in week two, I can't recall. But, no, I mean, you know, Alvin, I think he's averaging the most touches of any player in the NFL. It's 24.3 going into today per game. And that's, frankly, that's too much. You know, we talked to Clint Kubiak earlier this week, and he kind of conceded, like, yeah, they need to be a little smarter about getting him a blow early in game so that you're not overloading him. But there's a certain point, like, hey, when these games get tight, he doesn't want to come off the field. They don't want to take him off the field. And so they're going to continue to lean on him. And, you know, you do have to question, okay, how can you get some carries for some other guys? Jamal Williams has only got three carries over the last 2 weeks. I have to imagine he's going to be a bigger part of the game plan this week. Because you just can't send Alvin out there and let him get teed off on over and over again. He's already dealing with the rib injuries. So we'll see how that goes. But the fact is they have to be able to run the ball in this game to feel like you have a chance to move the ball. You can't allow the Chiefs' defensive line to just tee off on your banged-up interior line. And you know, I was talking to Landon Young, and you know, you talk about Chris Jones, and there's a certain point where, hey, I know all about Chris Jones as a pass rusher. It doesn't always seem like he wants to play the run as much as he wants to rush the passer. So sometimes he just runs straight at that guy and see how he handles it. I know that's what they did to Micah Parsons back in week two. So now it's going to be – running the ball is going to be important as it always is, and you're undermanned. So how they execute that today is going to be interesting.
Jeff, looking at – so we just talked about, you know, the mismatch for the Chiefs where – you know, the interior offensive line versus Chris Jones is obviously a mismatch in favor of the Chiefs. But on the opposite side, I think the Saints have their own little mismatch with their cornerbacks, their defensive back room, the secondary, versus the current Kansas City Chiefs weapons with, you know, Rashee Rice now on IR, Hollywood Brown's been on IR. It just seems like it's Xavier Worthy and Travis Kelce. Those are like the two premier weapons. I mean, they also have Juju Smith-Schuster and Justin Watson. But, I mean, if you're talking about one guy that really, really scares you, especially with – Mike has said this as well, that Travis Kelce's kind of in the twilight age, I guess, of his career. He's getting up there. He's not as productive. He had a great game against the Chargers, but the first three games of the season weren't anything impressive. The one player that can burn you and scares you because of his explosive playability is the rookie, the speedster Xavier Worthy, who can just, you know, let it fly. So, you know, what do you think about the Saints DB room and how they match up against those Chiefs weapons, that room that's kind of banged up for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the prime matchup for the Saints. If you're trying to say, okay, where do the Saints have an advantage in this game? It's going to be, hey, our secondary is healthy. We have our stars out there, and they're going against a banged up Chiefs wide receiver room that they should be able to impose their will on. You know, Xavier Worthy is obviously the X factor, but, you know, I was talking to Jordan Howden about this. It's actually kind of helpful when you consider, hey, we went against Rashid Shaheed all training camp, so we know what that type of, you know, 4.2 speed is that can get on you so fast. So, you know, they're going to spend a lot of time, I'm sure they spent a lot of time this week, you know, going over, hey, we can't let this guy get on top of us. Make sure to keep him, you know, like if he's going to make a play underneath, he's going to make a play underneath. You cannot allow him to go for a 70-yard touchdown because you're getting your eyes in the backfield. So I expect the Saints maybe play a little deeper than they might in other matchups. But no, I think you're going to continue to be physical on the outside. You're going to say, hey, can Travis Kelce win? I'm not convinced Travis has really lost a step. I think there's some element of their not emphasizing him as much in the offense to try to save him. When you're going for a third consecutive Super Bowl, a win in week three at the expense of your star tight end might be not worth it. But either way, like, I don't think you're going to have the luxury to do that if that's what you've been doing. We talked to Joe Woods, and one thing he said was like, hey, you can look at the numbers and you can say, hey, the numbers aren't there, but you watch him on tape, he's still that guy. Like, you don't see a drop-off in athleticism from him. And the Saints have struggled to cover tight ends not named Kyle Pitts over the last couple of years. So, you know, he's a guy who I am slightly concerned that he blows up today, that this is kind of the Travis Kelce coming out party for this season. I imagine Taylor Swift's going to be in attendance. Maybe he wants to show off. I don't know. But that, how they handle that Travis Kelce matchup is going to be key, I think.
Jeff, one more thing. Looking at the Davante Adams rumors, obviously his name's been out there as trade bait for a bunch of teams that could be interested. His, you know, preference, he's named the New York Jets. New Orleans Saints, obviously familiarity with the quarterback. I've heard also Baltimore Ravens could be a favorite in the mix for Devontae Adams, which just seems unfair to me. But looking at the likelihood of maybe something happening for this black and gold squad, how are you feeling about the, you know, the idea of Devontae in a Saints uniform? Obviously, I think you'd be all aboard about adding the weapon, but is it really feasible for this team to do?
I mean, it's feasible. It's just a question of how much they want to commit. You would be eliminating all of your flexibility if you were to try to do something like that. I think any team in the NFL would improve if they added Devontae Adams. My only issue with the conversation is, if I had to pick one position that I feel like, hey, these guys have done exactly what they've needed to do, it's wide receiver. It's Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave. Obviously, Rashid had that bad play on the punt, but in terms of a wide receiver, I think he went on to have his best game as an all-around receiver as a member of the New Orleans Saints. I think it was 8 catches for 83 yards, several big first downs. So I don't know. Like, I don't look at adding a wide receiver as a huge need. And if it comes down to it and someone else comes available and you can add a piece on the offensive line as a trade deadline or something like that, and you're unable to because you've committed to a wide receiver when you need something else, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the idea, but at the end of the day, I don't think anyone would complain if you added a guy like Devontae Adams to your offense. So that's where I am right now. I don't expect the Saints, you know, I think if it got to the point where the Saints could make the deal on their terms, you know, I could see it happening. I just don't see them getting into a bidding war. And so if it's the Saints and the Jets are willing to put up more, it's probably the Jets, right? That's kind of where I land on it.
Appreciate the time as always, Jess. You make sure you don't miss that bus to the stadium. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. All right, y'all.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, also our WWL digital content producer, on the scene in Kansas City, getting ready for the sidelines of that Monday night matchup in Arrowhead Stadium. Definitely jealous of where he's at today.
I've heard it's an awesome atmosphere. I've never been.
Me neither.
Never been. My buddies actually went for the Week 2 matchup, the Bengals at the Chiefs.
Okay.
And like the Burrowhead stuff.
Yeah.
It was a fun matchup. Now the Chiefs got the benefit of the doubt on a late call, which seems to happen pretty often with them. But I've always wanted to go out to Arrowhead. I've heard it's a great, great stadium.
We are on a special edition of First Take here, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. We are broadcasting from the Rouse's Market at 701 Barone Street in the CBD. They'll be leading up into the Bud Light countdown to kickoff, which will be coming up at 5 o'clock with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. You're going to want to get his takes on Monday Night Football. We'll be back with First Take after this here on WWL. Stay tuned. We are back here on First Take. WWL's First Take is brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day. Make sure you stock up on Bud Light. Broadcasting from the Rouse's Market, 701 Barone Street in the CBD. The Pelicans game just ended. The Birds coming out on top in their first matchup of the year. Good to see them getting the W. Will be interested to see more of Pelicans action. They took down the Orlando Magic 106-104 in their first preseason game, and I think they turn around and play them right again in the second one, right?
Yes, they do, and I think it's on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. But real quick, Steve, we're heading to the top of the hour. I want to let people know we got a bunch of audio that we'll play in the next hour, starting with Derek Carr. And Derek Carr, in the and his time with the Raiders, obviously, divisional rivals, he is no stranger to Arrowhead and the Kansas City Chiefs. So got a couple numbers to share about that, because his history against the Chiefs, not necessarily great, but he has played them a bunch. So he's obviously knowledgeable about Arrowhead and the atmosphere that the Saints are going to be playing tonight in primetime.
Get your pregame party going. First Take and Rouse's Market. We're here 701 Barone Street in the CBD, coming back with more right after this. So stay tuned on WWL.